You are listening to 88.1 FM KPPP LP Fargo Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. All right, welcome to Finding Me. This is Nemo Cicados, and I hope we're finding you and finding me at KPPP LP Fargo Moorhead, 88.1 FM, where we are adding local color to your airwaves and the queer ones. You can tune in to listen 5 p.m. on the first Wednesday of the month for new content and on the radio at 88.1 FM and at our website, kppfm.com, and click Listen Live on one of the players. Last time, we talked about what made you queer and compulsive heterosexuality, and this time, we are going to talk about hiding behind the rainbow as the title of my show. Last month, I didn't get to cover it, but there was this whole Kevin Spacey thing going on with the allegations against him for assaulting a 14-year-old minor, and it wasn't fun because, one, his apology was terrible, and then he was saying things like, well, I don't remember it that way, and sorry you feel that way, and then he stamped at the end, well, now I have to talk about myself where, by the way, I'm gay. So I thought that was a nasty way of redirecting the attention on him to, like, oh, woe is me, but that's not the point of coming out. And I don't want you in my community if you're a pedophile, for one. What do you think, my guests?
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you for having us on your show.
Yeah, it's the first time I've been on your show.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my first time, but I'm always honored to come on Nemo's show. And I was like, you're going to have us on the show. What are we talking about?
And by the way, my name is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
Mm-hmm.
And my name is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
Mm-hmm.
And you're listening to Finding Me.
Mm-hmm. If you have any questions for our guests, you can reach them at cindy@kppfm.com or duke@kppfm.com. And you can at Cindy and the rest of the team here at KPPP at @media_PPP on Twitter, or find us on Facebook at KPPP Radio 88.1 FM Fargo Moorhead.
Definitely.
Exactly. Well, I was shocked when I saw the apology. Because I didn't know if, I mean, I knew Kevin Spacey was gay,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't know how public he was about it. Did you?
Not really. And then, you know, I can see what you're talking about where, and by the way, I'm gay, you know, the sort of damage that does and sort of the deflecting the responsibility of what he was doing. And then implicating a whole group of people, you know, that is a cover for it, you know, so it's pretty disgusting. And
yeah.
I never thought much about him and his, you know, the way he lives and who he is and his sexuality because he's an actor. But when this stuff came out, it was just like, it was like, what's going on when he did this? And I'm sure a lot of people have been talking about it and you've been wanting to talk about it for a long time.
To me, also, the idea that you are equating rape culture with queer people is gross because it's as if you're saying, well, that's why I rape people. I mean, that's why I did this without people's consent, because I'm gay. And that's just not the case.
Exactly. And so, like, a lot of LGBT folk were like, excuse effing me, you know, that we don't want you in our community if that's what you're going to do, which is throw us under the bus and contribute more to the myths that LGBT folk are having us slip into bestiality or pedophilia or assaulting women and children, etc. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I mean, that's exactly what you hear homophobic people saying when, you know, we were trying to pass, you know, gay marriage rights laws. There was like, well, if we let gay people get married, if we let a man marry a man, what's next? Yeah. Is he going to be able to marry two men? Can he marry a goat?
Yeah, I don't.
You know, like, it's real homophobic, kind of cis het homophobic behavior to me.
And plus, you know, the LGBT community has been trying to define itself, you know, for years. And there's been, you know, there's been wins in civil rights for LGBT community. And like I said, it's been years of defining the community, and because they use the word community. And it's like stuff like that, just it moves people back, because it's always been about if people are together to love each other and you want to be married, well, what next? You're going to marry a goat, you're going to have horses, you're going to have all this stuff. And if people have been doing those sort of stereotypes for years and years and years to keep people in the closet. You know, so there's opportunities for people to be, you know, fully recognize the relationships and people in our society. So things like this just really move it backwards.
And as we're finally making gains where people are feeling more comfortable to come out of the closet, because that just happened in this generation.
Exactly.
It didn't exist before. You couldn't come out because, you know, people were going to discriminate against you and there was nothing to protect you from that discrimination. But, you know, I have to say one thing, too, that there's going to be a lot of problems within the queer community because it is mostly white queer people's movement, not people of color. So
that's why I always have to look back to, like, the Stonewall riots and think about my trans women who started the movement, trans women of color who started the movement and threw those first bricks, you know?
And that has not been recognized by the gay community. You know, my whole experience back in the 80s and 90s, it was talked about, but it was never talked about as being led by people of color. In fact, most of the organizations I worked with were so white, when I'd find opportunities for people of color in their organization to get scholarships and residencies doing organizing, the group would give it back to me saying, we don't have any people of color in our organization. It's better for the organization you're working in. You know, so I had this offensiveness, I would feel. I didn't quite understand it. And working with the LGBT community, for me, is trying to understand and understanding a lot by working with people. But that always threw me. It made me mad, and it was hard to address, because they'd say, well, we have a Mexican guy that comes and gets food on Wednesdays, so therefore we're diverse. And we're just diverse because, you know, we're the queer community. That makes us diverse. But I was always like, no, there's elements that you really need to look at. You know, like the Gay is the New Black came out in Minneapolis magazine. And it was like, you know, it's like, what's going on? Yeah.
No. I've heard of that a lot. You know, every time I talk to queer people that are white, they conflate being gay with being people of color. Like, oh, yes, I know what.
Your I know what oppression is.
I know what your experience of oppression from racism is. And it's like, these are two very different things. So don't compare them. And we need to have a conversation about how inclusive the queer community has been to people of color. To the transgender community. I mean, that's still a problem. And so for those reasons, those marginalized groups continue to get kind of thrown under the bus, or their issues continue to be swept under the rug. And I think that it contributes to this kind of offensive rhetoric coming out of people like Kevin Spacey, where they're kind of dog whistling this, like, oh yeah, I mean, queer equals deviant, queer equals you know, bestiality, queer equals weird, queer equals but you know, those ideas are just part of the supremacist structure of violence, of homophobia, that comes out of white supremacy, that comes out of toxic masculinity that is inherent in male supremacy. And that's why we're seeing all of these men being called on the carpet and having the same type of reactions. it's not very different what Spacey said than what Louis C.K. said, than what Al Franken said. Mm-hmm. Well, I did it. Yeah. I don't remember things that way, though.
Right.
My recollection is I was having fun. It wasn't, it's not that different than what Chelsea Lyon said.
Right.
It was a good time. From what I remember, it was great, you know?
Yeah.
All of these people that felt that they had consent, even in situations where there was a power dynamic, mm-hmm. where the person obviously would fear, like in the case of Louis C.K., Al Franken, etc., that the person with more power over them in the situation would be believed versus them, mm-hmm. that their opportunities to work within these industries, to work within these powerful institutions that normally exclude women or queer people,
mm-hmm.
that they would lose their chance if they opposed some big figure mm-hmm. like Kevin Spacey.
Right.
Like Jordan Sheridan.
Yes.
You know, like
George Takei.
And then they're also willing to deny that there was anything that they knew was wrong about the situation. Because when they're saying, I don't remember it that way, I think it's implied that the way they remember it, everything was okay.
Mm-hmm.
There was consent. Everybody had fun. Nobody was oppressed in the situation, mm-hmm. right? Nobody was raped. Nobody was embarrassed. Mm-hmm. No power over was held.
Mm-hmm.
And that just simply is so crappy to do to someone
mm-hmm.
who just exposed their painful story of being assaulted.
Right.
Because what it says is a redenial of the assault in a way by mm-hmm. saying, this whole time, I've never said that I've done something like this because I thought I was doing good. I thought I did right.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not saying, you know, you don't have to say that if you're just going to say, when that happened,
mm-hmm.
I felt entitled to do that because other people were doing it and getting away with it.
Exactly.
And I shouldn't have. I participated in rape culture, in violence, in oppression of mm-hmm. other people, because taking somebody's body and using it at your will
mm-hmm.
because you feel entitled to it, that's violence to another person. Mm-hmm. Whether you think it is or not, that mm-hmm. is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for all those reasons, I really felt that that particular statement was really, you know, a violation, a re-violation of
right,
the person.
Of the victim.
Of the victim, yeah.
Exactly. So it's why I want to bring up this funny Tumblr post I found on the internet here. Let's see. It is, yeah, it starts with this from one person saying, pedophiles don't belong in the LGBT community. Go die in a fire. You are not welcome. I agree with the sentiment. Actually, we do, because LGBT is about celebrating the weird taboo. So, yeah. And this other person goes, nope. Nope, no, it's not. That's incredibly homophobic and transphobic. You don't belong in the LGBT community. Please unfollow me, you know, unfriend me. Get out of here if you believe pedophilia counts as the group in the LGBT plus community. Actually, if you're a pedophile, please unfollow me. I don't want that near anywhere near me. And that's exactly how I feel about people, you know, claiming LGBT in light of their allegations of sexual assault or assaulting a minor or raping unconscious women. So
yeah, it's really gross.
Right. So like I wanted to then lead in from that to Chelsea's claim to being like, you know, queer in her own way and just, you know, that's just how she is. It's cool. But no, it's not. So
from Standing Rock, she was on recently with me in from Puerto Rico. She is a real truth teller, has traveled all over the place to spread real news. And today she's here to tackle a really touchy subject because it's just not an easy thing to talk about, especially in this country. In Europe, it's much easier to talk about, but in this country, it's harder to talk about. And some of you might have heard about Jordan, and there were sex misconduct allegations. And Chelsea is here with me because she really wants to set the record straight, because there are a lot of lies out there. And I know all about lies about somebody because I experienced that myself. And that is just not the way to go. And actually, when somebody has your back and says the truth, it's a beautiful thing. And so I really commend you for wanting to come on and really talk about the truth of it, because first-hand accounts are much better than second- and third-hand accounts. So welcome, Chelsea, and thanks for coming on.
Thank
you. I know this is a hard thing to talk about.
Yeah. I'm nervous. I'm going to admit it. You know, this is a really hard thing to come out and have to, you know, share publicly. Right. I have no doubt that Jordan's going to be, you know, exonerated of all of this, because I know what happened. I was there. I saw everything. I have no doubt that this isn't going to hurt him in that way. But like, having to share this out loud and having to put out like our sexual lives are like very private business, which is our business, nobody else's, is very stressful. And to, you know, have to call my family, tell them the story, you know, of the, you know, time I had group sex in Flint, Michigan, and how that went wrong is very, very stressful. And, you know, but Jordan is one of my best friends, has been for a while. I trust him completely. We've spent a lot of time together. We began an intimate relationship over a year ago. We've never been like a couple. We've never been exclusive, but, you know, we are very close. We always have been. And so, but in the beginning, when I met Jordan, we were mostly working together. I spent weeks in hotel rooms with him in Standing Rock, and he never was inappropriate with me. He never even made a pass at me. He was just like so focused on work. He was just like a busy guy all the time. And even like in our normal lives past that, like that's never been the case with me. I've never seen that at all. Right. So when he came to Flint, you know, me, him and Ty, we always hung out. Every time they came, we hung out all day, every day. I usually stayed at the hotel the whole time. And Carly would hang out with us a lot. Carly is the girl who was saying that this happened, and she hung out with us a lot, like all day, every day. She went to dinner with us. She rode in the car with us. She took notes for, like, you know, like she just was around all the time. And she and Jordan had a very flirtatious relationship for a long time, which is, you know, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
And I want to interject that really in this country, flirting is already a crime. It's so crazy, you know.
But like they know they flirted, like it wasn't there wasn't anything wrong with it. It was cute, innocent flirting, like throughout the day. It was cute, whatever. Like everybody does it. And so that night, you know, we'd all been together all day, same thing every day, you know. And then that night we were in Jordan's room, and he had a hot tub in his room, so we had drinks in the hot tub, all four of us, me, Ty, Carly, and Jordan. And me and Carly, we started kissing in the hot tub. Again, nothing wrong with that. You know, like, I like men, I like women, I can do what I want to do with my body. You know, everybody was having a good time. It was a good night. Like, as far as my recollection up until this moment goes, like, it was a fun night. There was no misconduct there. So, like, you know, that happened. Like, we were kissing. Everything's fine. Jordan went and laid down, you know, and then Carly goes to the bathroom. She's in the bathroom for like a really long time, you know, maybe like 30 minutes. Me and Ty are just hanging out in the hot tub, you know, like we're kicking it. Everything's good. And then she comes back out and she doesn't have her bikini on anymore. Like she's, you know, she's ready to go, whatever. And I get out, like she and I are kissing again. We end up engaging in oral sex again. All of this is fine. And Ty's kissing her. I'm kissing Ty. Like, everything is okay. Jordan's still, like, asleep on the bed. And then Carly asks Ty to wake up Jordan. So Ty goes, and Ty wakes up Jordan. And I've seen people in comments like, oh, my God, I can't believe they woke up Jordan. Jordan's one of my best friends, you know, like, if I want to have sex in the room next to him, I will. If I want to wake him up in the middle of the night, I will. If I want to call him drunk at 3 a.m., I will. Like, that's my right as a human.
Yeah, that's her right, apparently.
It's her right as a human.
But you know what? Not in my community. It is not a right.
I want to make sure people know who those people were,
right,
and what this is, what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right. That was Claudia Stauber with Chelsea Lyons Kent on Claudia's live stream, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they were talking about the allegations of rape that were made by Carly Hammond from Truth Against the Machine against Jordan Sheridan from Truth Against the Machine, as well as the Young Turks, formerly of the Young Turks. He has since been fired. So this video came out before Carly had had a chance to speak. And Chelsea seemed very sure that he would not be fired from Truth Against the Machine and that he would not see any consequences for his behavior. And I think that the reason for that is because she has admitted, from what I heard in that little clip, mm-hmm. if you listen to the whole thing, you'll find it on YouTube or Facebook yourself, mm-hmm. Claudia Stauber and Chelsea Lyons Kent. She admitted to assaulting. She admitted to raping.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that, you know, after that clip, she says that that after Jordan was woken by Ty, mm-hmm. Ty Bayless, the mm-hmm. cameraman for mm-hmm. the Young Turks,
mm-hmm.
not for Truth Against the Machine.
Mm-hmm.
So an employee mm-hmm. of Truth Against the Machine,
mm-hmm.
Ty Bayless, the cameraman,
mm-hmm.
was somehow involved in a story which they were all covering that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was an employee of TYT.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep. Did I say Truth Against the Machine? Yep. Sorry. Ty Bayless is not an employee of Truth Against the Machine. So right. It's very strange that he would have been at a event or news reporting for mm-hmm. Truth Against the Machine
right.
when he doesn't work for them.
Right.
He only works for the Young Turks.
Right. It would be weird for the Young Turks to be mingling with Truth Against the Machine, which is supposed to be its own separate thing.
They're supposed to be a separate entity, right? But there was definitely overlap between
mm-hmm.
the two. There was overlap between the two. Chelsea is also implicated in the sexual assault of Missy Waddell.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just recently covered on H.A. Goodman's show mm-hmm. on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So people want to find the interview of Missy Waddell and what she had to say about Chelsea Lyons' involvement in her rape.
Mm-hmm.
You can go find that on YouTube.
Yep.
And I think it's very important to hear from these other victims because Kevin Spacey had more than one victim
mm-hmm.
that has come forward.
Mm-hmm.
George Takei has also now mm-hmm. been accused.
Yes.
I still have not seen a response from him.
No. And in fact, I think the only thing he did respond to is like, I will talk about that when I get back into the States. Right now, I'm on a trip.
Yeah.
It's like, that's always convenient, isn't it?
Through a publicist.
That was not, okay.
It wasn't directly from him.
All right.
They just said, like, there's no comment from him. He's not in the country right now. And
he will choose to respond when he feels like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
All right.
But I'm pretty sure they've got the interwebs all over the world, don't mm-hmm. they?
Yeah. I mean,
even the remote parts of the world can.
You can still at least get data or a signal.
You could find out that allegations have been made against you, and you'd probably want to make a response, get out in front of that as quickly as possible.
Right.
So people don't see you as being proud
mm-hmm.
of your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That they don't see you as somebody that thinks you're entitled to do that. Like Chelsea Lyons was saying, I found this very interesting about mm-hmm. that clip. She says that she was in the hot tub
mm-hmm.
and that Carly got out and went to the bathroom for 30 minutes.
Right.
If one of your coworkers was drinking
mm-hmm.
and then left and went to the bathroom and didn't come back, especially mm-hmm. if, as she claims, they were making out in the hot tub.
Yeah.
Right before that.
Yes.
Why wouldn't you check on them, find out if they were okay or not?
Yeah, like
Don't you think that was weird?
Oh, yeah. Like, okay, the thing that bothers me about that whole story is that when I was in college, in freshman year, they require you to take a alcohol and drugs class because there is such a problem, especially in this community, an alcohol problem. Mm-hmm. And so what they did was they had students take this class, you know, from start to finish, required you could not graduate without this class, on how to keep your peers safe when they were drinking, if they were drinking, and that you should be with someone if they are drunk. You should always, you know, be with them, you know, until they get home safely. And if they start to pass out, then you should definitely monitor them so mm-hmm. that they don't, like, go through some medical problems like, you know, vomiting, or, you know, you have to make sure they're okay. You can't leave drunk people, especially when they're passed out, unattended. And you definitely need to make sure they have water in them before they sleep.
And if she was in the bathroom for a half an hour, wouldn't you be concerned? The allegations that Jordan made in his Medium article preempting Carly's exposure of what he did to her.
Mm-hmm.
He says, almost, I think, in the first paragraph, mm-hmm. that nobody was drunk.
Mm-hmm.
They only had a few beers.
Mm-hmm.
Pictures are now circulating the internet from the bar on the day in question that the assault took place.
Mm-hmm.
And there were more than beers. There were drinks of amber liquid.
Ooh.
So obviously,
it was a party.
It was drinks. Mm-hmm. It was drinks, and there was more than a few.
Yep.
I counted like 17 on the table.
Jesus.
What I'm saying is, and I believe they continued to drink because Chelsea said they were having drinks in the hot tub.
Mm-hmm.
So the drinks continued.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Carly when she said that she was wasted.
Mm-hmm.
There is evidence, according to Chelsea herself, that she was in the bathroom for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently none of these people cared enough to even go and check. She didn't say, mm-mm. At some point I went and knocked on the door and said, hey, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, whatever. Mm-hmm. She doesn't say that.
No.
She leaves her in there.
Yep.
Never checks on her.
Nope.
Ty never checks on her.
Mm-mm.
Apparently they were just kicking it in the hot tub.
Right.
But according to Carly, they were the one, they were making out in the hot tub.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea was making out with Ty.
Mm-hmm.
Then this is the most disturbing part for me.
Mm-hmm.
She comes out of the bathroom, Carly does,
mm-hmm.
the victim.
Mm-hmm.
And Chelsea says she was naked and ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that bothers me too. Naked doesn't mean that you're ready for sex or...
Yeah, plus she said that earlier in the video, she said that... we were hanging out together for days and days and evenings, and everything was cool. Everything was going really good. And I thought, well, does that mean she was used to being around rapey people? You know, she was insinuating that everything they were doing, she was well aware of how everybody was because they're spending so much time together. And again, you know, when you actually listen to what happened, it's like she's basically, Chelsea Lyons Kent is basically saying she knew we were all rapey and we were doing all this rapey stuff. She should have just been totally aware of it because she was hanging out with us.
And if that was so, because this is what disturbs me, that's grooming behavior to have people get used to the way you are as a person, which is, in this case, rapey. And just like pedophiles groom people to get close to them and then assault them. And then people like Carly or like Anthony Rapp, who was assaulted by Kevin Spacey, then look back and are like, what just happened?
Yeah, they expected that, you know, they were going to be treated professionally because up until that point, Carly said, you know, Jordan had never done anything like that. And in addition to that, had met her husband, had spent time with her and her husband together.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this, you know, trust that she had that was totally broken.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the part that, you know, that keeps ringing over and over in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea says she walks out of the pool, out of the hot tub,
mm-hmm.
walks over to her and starts having oral sex with her.
Mm-hmm.
She says nothing about consent.
Right.
She says nothing about asking her for her consent.
Mm-hmm.
She says Ty also was kissing her.
Mm-hmm.
She says nothing about Ty asking for consent.
Mm-hmm.
She says nothing about Carly speaking about consent.
Right.
Then she says that Carly specifically asked for Jordan to be woken.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And then she says that Ty goes and wakes Jordan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she stops for a minute to complain about the haters out there mm-hmm. that were saying that they shouldn't have woken up Jordan. Why would anyone wake him up? And she did not say, well, because, like I just said a moment ago, Carly wanted that. Mm-hmm. So we were going to do what Carly wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Carly wanted me to do oral sex on her.
Right.
I asked her for her consent and she said yes. And she wanted Ty to do it because mm-hmm. we just talked. She glossed over all of that. And yes. she says, if I want to wake up my friend, hey, that's my friend.
Right.
And if I want to wake him up, if I want to have sex with him and other people, and if I want to have sex, that's my right.
Right. That sentence in and of itself is both rapey as it is entitled, especially because she is a white woman and she is a sexually liberated white woman. And she will make sure you know that.
Well, what it sounded like she was saying to me was like, and this kind of makes me believe Carly even more. Because
yeah.
if she had said, because Carly asked us to wake him up.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't.
No.
There she shows it was her that wanted him awake.
Yeah.
That's my friend. And if I want to pass a half unconscious woman over for him
mm-hmm.
to have sloppy seconds, mm-hmm. then I will.
Right.
That's my right.
Yeah, exactly.
And that also fits in with what Carly said, that she heard him tell Jordan, she's beautiful, enjoy her, and that Jordan said, are you sure?
Right, but they're never ever talking directly to her. She's just an object there for their pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, it's what F's me up about the whole thing, is that they're talking around her like an object, and she is ready to go, you know?
Yeah, so the idea, because in the Medium article, Jordan points to the fact he has two written statements of witnesses, which is Ty and Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen those written statements. He Mm-mm. said he was going to produce if Carly ever came out and accused him, which she has more than 2 weeks ago now. So mm-hmm. Jordan's a liar. He's never going to produce that stuff. He knows it'll get him into a lot more problems.
Definitely.
He knows every time they open their mouth. Every one of them, they're all morons. Somebody told Ty Bayless to shut up.
Yeah.
From the Young Turks. Cenk was like, if you give a statement, I will choke you myself.
Mm-hmm.
So how are they going to say, we got statements, we got witnesses, they have a different variation from what this woman, Carly, mm-hmm. may say
mm-hmm.
before they even told us her name, mm-hmm. right? And then, and he said, I got consent. I have proof I got consent. That mm-hmm. that's what the written statements were for,
mm-hmm.
to show that he had consent,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And Chelsea never talks about asking for consent.
Mm-hmm.
Consent is never mentioned when she decides to make out with her in the hot tub.
Mm-mm.
Consent is never mentioned when she gets out of the bathroom naked and mm-hmm. Chelsea decides to go and perform oral sex on her.
Mm-hmm.
Consent is never mentioned when Ty starts kissing her.
Mm-mm.
It's only mentioned when after Jordan is awakened.
Suddenly it's relevant then.
Suddenly, I heard Jordan ask her for consent. Well, wait a minute. If it's true, as Chelsea says,
mm-hmm.
that Carly was the one that wanted Jordan to be awakened, didn't she imply consent from that? Because she implied consent that she could go and perform oral sex on her from the fact that Carly walked out of the bathroom without her clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, she was ready to go,
mm-hmm.
as Chelsea said.
Yeah.
I mean, her story is so full of holes and lies, it makes me dizzy. And so now we can start talking about consent as Jordan, the great Jordan Sheridan, enters the group sex scenario. That's not group sex.
Uh-uh.
And don't talk about it like, I hope I get to have group sex again, Chelsea, because what you're talking about is rape.
Mm-hmm.
This woman was drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And you talking about, in the state of Flint, Michigan, if you're impaired from intoxication, you cannot give consent.
Right.
So what you did constitutes sexual assault.
Yes.
And what you did, Jordan, constitutes sexual assault. And what you did, Ty Bayless, constitutes sexual assault.
Right.
According to the law of Michigan.
Right. In the most basic level.
At the most basic level. And you have admitted that there was drinking. Mm-hmm. You said it was three beers, but there's pictures. Mm-hmm. You said, Chelsea, your co-rapist has said that there was drinks. Mm-hmm. Okay. And your consent cannot be given by a woman that is impaired. And you cannot, as a person that was also impaired by alcohol, really have the wherewithal to be able to say that you were 100% of clear mind, of sound mind and body, and were able to see cues because you were not impaired. You would have missed cues of a person rescinding consent, mm-hmm, or denying you consent, mm-hmm, because you can't say 100% for sure if it was there because you were drunk too. Mm-hmm. And all the people defending all of you have said so, mm-hmm, but they were all drunk.
Right. Okay?
You can't have it both ways.
Exactly. And, you know, again, that's what bothers me about that. Put in this way, going to bring up this. All right. So consent points, you know, the very basics, mm-hmm, is freely given. Consenting is a choice you make without pressure, manipulation, or under the influence of drugs or alcohol, which there was in this case. It has to be enthusiastic. Carly hardly ever said anything until...
Without pressure.
Right, and without pressure. That was a big one. When it comes to sex, you should only do stuff you want to do, not things that you feel you're expected to do. Consent should be specific. Saying yes to one thing, like going to the bedroom to make out, doesn't mean you've said yes to others, like having sex.
Right, so even if it were true, mm-hmm, that Carly was giving consent for kissing in the hot tub with Chelsea, it does not imply that she consented to having this woman violently go down on her, mm-hmm, which is what Carly described, mm-hmm, on her interview with Tim Black.
Mm-hmm. And consent is informed, so you can only consent to something if you have the full story. For example, if someone says they'll use a condom and then they don't, there isn't full consent because it's rape.
Mm-hmm.
And then consent is also reversible. And I don't know about you, Cindy, Mom, Duke, that Chelsea started joking around like, well, I guess I'll have to start writing up a contract.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was gross. So gross.
Yeah, because guess what? Consent is also reversible. There is no contracts going on. Anyone can change their mind about what they feel like doing any time, even if you've done it before and even if you're both naked in bed.
Right. So even if you get your signed contracts... with a non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah, it's not legally binding. This isn't some...
Well, part of the really big problem is that people don't know how to have relationships.
No.
You know, it comes from misogyny and male dominance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that whole list is really, really a good way to live. And and you need to learn that when you're developing a relationship. When I hear Chelsea Lyons Kent talking, she's not talking about relationships. Mm-mm. She's talking about her freedom to be rapey, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's what she's imposing on people. And it shows that, well, to me, it shows that she's not interested in relationships. So, and I know people decide to do that. People decide to be that way and they find someone that feels the same way, but they consent to each other to really not be in a relationship, you know, and not really work on these things. But it's what people need to do to have a loving, intimate relationship with someone, is to really be respectful of each other, mm-hmm, of choices, mm-hmm, of communicating. Mm-hmm. And those things, we aren't taught those things to, you know, in the development of relationships, you know, from young on. Mm-hmm. It's totally avoided in our society because it's male dominated and it's full of supremacy, you know, which leads to being rapey. Mm-hmm. And we as men, whether we be gay or straight, mm-hmm, are following that same model.
Exactly. And, you know, that's why I look at you guys as a model relationship. Like, you guys will look at each other and be like, hey, can I have a kiss? And it's like, yeah, sure.
I didn't ask her.
Well, then, because of the fact that she was leaning forward in her body language that you could read, there was consent because, yeah, she's leaning forward. Now, if she were had pulled back, then I think you would take that as a no, correct?
Yeah, and plus we're married, and we're working on our relationship every day. We chose to be united in marriage with each other, mm-hmm, and it was a choice we made with each other, and we got married. And, you know, so we're working on our relationship all the time, every single day, mm-hmm, you know, because that needs to happen. We're also, you know, she's Mexican, I'm white, mm-hmm, you know, so there has to be a lot of work on my part, mm-hmm, to really understand the culture and understand her as a woman of color. And, you know, because I had no training on that in my upbringing. So it's things I have to learn and implement and change in my life to have a good relationship. And that's really important, to have a really good relationship. So this whole thing with the hot tub orgy, you know, it's like, the thing there too is that they were employer-employee relationships mm-hmm. intermixed with that.
Mm-hmm. There's some pressure there.
Yeah, you know, and it's like,
that's not the right environment when a person is drinking to decide to have a sexual intercourse with them.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that Chelsea talks about it, like, I want to sleep with men. If I want to sleep with men, I'll sleep with men. Mm-hmm. If I want to sleep with women, I'll sleep with women. If I want to,
it's my body. I can do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm. No, you can't take your body over to someone else, put your naked body on top of someone and start performing oral sex on them without consent.
Mm-hmm.
That is called rape, especially mm-hmm. if they were drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you have the feeling that you're sexually liberated doesn't give you the right to rape people, because men want to feel like that. You're talking like a man, Chelsea. You're talking like a cishet man that doesn't feel that women should be able to turn him down.
Mm-hmm.
That when he wants to have sex, he should be able to have that sex.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the woman was in his bedroom, in his room, and she happened to not have any clothes off, I mean, that means she was ready, right? That's...
Yeah. And the thing is, like, it's already a problem as it is in the LGBT community that mm-hmm. there is sexual assault. And I was just reading this article on Vice, which I'll be dropping down into the comments during the show here in a bit. Myth silencing LGBTQ sexual assault victims. Mm-hmm. So if you're trans or queer, you're more likely to experience sexual assault or rape than cisgender or straight people. Experts say discussion of the problem is lacking, and certain myths about the LGBTQ assault are to blame. So I took a couple of lines from the article that I wanted to focus on,
mm-hmm.
is that a lot of people will have experiences of assault at the time when they're younger because they're new to the queer scene, and they won't realize they were assaulted. Things like being penetrated by people of the same sex and then just kind of like, whoa, and then like, you know, think about it later. Like, well, was it really assault? And it happens where people just are not sure what really happened. And it's just really sad to me when people are in that confusing state and then they never get help. And then they start having problems that they don't know why they're having those problems. And it's because they've been traumatized mm-hmm. by that invasion. Rates of sexual assault in the LGBT community, 47% of respondents in a 2015 U.S. transgender survey said they had been sexually assaulted at some point in their lives. According to a 2010 CDC report, gay men experience similar rates of rape by an intimate partner as their straight compatriots, but when you factor in sexual violence other than rape, the rate more than doubles. So 40% of gay men and 47% of bisexual men versus 21% of heterosexual men over their lifetimes, which includes all encounters, whether it's from an intimate partner or not. Additionally, 44% of lesbians and 61% of bisexual women have been raped by an intimate partner, compared to 35% of heterosexual women. And then, when it comes down to men getting assaulted, when they're being victimized, they experience an erection or a climax, and their responses are sometimes read by the victim as implying consent, even though they're wasted. And some of these things can be very confusing for the victims because, like, well, I was hard, or I was ready according to my body. But just because your body was ready, because that's just what your body does, it reacts to stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. if you're cut, your body will bleed and then start to coagulate the blood to repair itself. It's not necessarily voluntary.
Right.
And so then, like, it's hard for them to reconcile their physiological response with the fact that they did not consent to the act. And when it comes down to, well, if Chelsea is a woman and Carly is a woman, was it really sexual assault? Yes, it is, because, you know, it was just because there was no penis involved until Jordan entered this area or the tie entered the area doesn't mean it wasn't still rape, and it was rape.
And Carly said that she was penetrated with fingers.
Exactly.
Fingers and tongues are still penetration. It doesn't mean that there wasn't a rape just because the items penetrating was not a penis. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to always work like that.
Mm-hmm. So remember that earlier list I put up of what consent is mm-hmm. and everything? That was from Planned Parenthood.
Oh.
So I'm going to show a video. Yeah. They have a really nice article about that.
They're stepping up. Good.
Oh, yeah. I love it. And they have a video, which I'll show in a little bit. But I'm going to look at this whole three steps of like sexual consent of what it is, how do I talk about it, and what do I do if someone I know was sexually assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
So it talks about consent means actively agreeing to be sexual with someone. Consent lets someone know that sex is wanted, and sexual activity without consent is rape or sexual assault. That is it.
Sexual activity.
Yeah.
Of any kind.
Any kind. And, you know, I already put up those, like, you know, points. It's freely given, enthusiastic, etc. And so sexual consent is an agreement to participate in sexual activity. Before being sexual with someone, you need to know if they want to be sexual with you too. It's also important to be honest with your partner about what you want and what you don't want. Consenting and asking for consent are all about getting your personal boundaries and respecting those of your partner. Checking in if things aren't clear. Both people must agree to sex every single time for it to be consensual. Without consent, sexual activity, including oral, genital touching, vaginal or penetration, is sexual assault or rape. So, I will now play this video, which is by Planned Parenthood. I thought it was, like, well done, and we'll check that out.
How do you know for sure if someone wants to have sex with you? Well, actually, there's only one way. They need to tell you. You need to have consent. But what does consent really mean? Consent means both parties are really, truly into what's going on. This means that nobody is being guilted or pressured into doing anything. Silence does not equal consent. Some people think it's not rape unless there's fighting, screaming, or someone yelling no. But that's not true. Communication doesn't always happen with words. Body language can say a lot if you pay attention. Are they leaning in or are they pulling away? Do they look happy or do they look uncomfortable? Are they kissing you back or are they just staying kind of still? You have to pay attention to all the signals. This includes body language and words. No one can read minds, so it's always good to talk about it. Asking for consent doesn't have to be awkward. Asking for consent can actually be kind of sexy.
Wanna show me your bedroom?
Show me where you want me to touch you.
Do you want to help me take these clothes off?
So, let's break this consent thing way down. One, everyone's clear about what's about to happen next, and they're happy about it. If you're making out with someone for the first time and you want to go further, check in first.
Can I take your shirt off?
Want to try something different?
Two, everyone in the situation has to feel free to be able to say no without being pressured or hassled. It's not cool to pressure people into doing stuff they're obviously uncomfortable with or make them feel bad for saying no or wanting to stop things. Being pushy or manipulative makes for some pretty bad sex. And obviously, if a person is drunk, high, passed out, or asleep, it's not okay to do sexual stuff with them. They can't consent when wasted or unconscious. So doing this is actually rape. Three, be honest about whether or not you're on birth control, have an STD, or having sex with other people. Wouldn't you want to know that? If you're going to get naked with someone, you have to have trust and honesty. Four, saying yes to sex once doesn't mean you're saying yes to it forever. It may be tough to pause in the middle of some super sweet action, but your partner has the right to stop at any time. And five, sex is all about connections and pleasure, right? If everyone feels respected, sex will be much better for both of you. We all deserve a safe, pleasurable, and awesome sex life. The more respect you show to the other person, the more they'll trust you enough to relax and enjoy. And the more honest you are about what you want and don't want, the better things will go. It's easy to talk about what consent means, but what does it look like in real life? How are we supposed to know for sure how far someone wants to go or if they want to get intimate at all? Check out our other videos for tips on how to do this consent thing right.
So there was other little video suggestions down there.
Yeah, so you can probably find those on their YouTube or, you know, right on their site. I just Googled sexual consent, Planned Parenthood, and that's one of the videos that plays.
Can somebody please send that to Chelsea Lyons-Kent?
Yeah.
Right?
And Jordan Sheridan?
Exactly.
And Ty Bayless? Somebody please download that. Mm-hmm. Can you put the links
and it gets funnier because
in the comments of this show, Nemo, so that people... Somebody please send it to us.
Yeah. You know, it was really good. I think that the dialogues that are happening now that give people tools, you know, and even in that video, you have to think to yourself is like, am I going to communicate? You know, mm-hmm. a lot of in my lifetime, I've never talked, don't say a word mm-hmm. and assume things, you know? And so if something's happening, I don't like, I have to say something about it. So you have to really, really, be a lot more honest when mm-hmm. when you're with people. And I think a video like that gives some nice tools that people can start implementing and practicing. And I'm really impressed that groups are putting out stuff like that to really try to address mm-hmm. the root problem that's happening here. Is like a lot of rapey people are doing harm to other people, and people have terrible relationships. And how do you turn that around to make things healthier?
You know what I see? I see a backlash to that information mm-hmm. being disseminated and discussed in, you know, a massive amount of people. And that backlash looks like a bunch of rapey, angry people in supremacy, whether mm-hmm. it be white or male, mm-hmm. like Chelsea, like Kevin Spacey, mm-hmm. saying back, you know, hey, I have the right to keep raping mm-hmm. and I want to keep raping. I had so many people after I talked about consent mm-hmm. not being a thing you can give when you're intoxicated and impaired. Yeah. I had so many men angrily tweeting at me. Does that mean they're going to close all the bars? I mean, I'm not going to be able to have sex with women if they're drinking. Why would you want to have sex with people that can't fully consent? What is it about having sex with non-consensual people a thing you want to do? Why?
It's a power thing.
Yeah, it is. It's power, but it's also control. Mm-hmm. It's also violence. It's supremacy. It's oppression, and it's not sexy. Mm-mm. It's not LGBTQ. Mm-mm. It's not it's not cool. It's not what the cool kids are doing. Mm-mm. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's rapey.
Right.
So, it's gross.
Yes. So, contrary to popular belief, P does not stand for pedophilia. Mm-hmm. It stands for pansexual, just in case you didn't know. And R does not stand for rapist. Probably stands for something else that's a lot nicer than that. A is for asexual, not assault. Mm-hmm. You know? And Q is queer. That's it, you know? You don't get to include yourself in this community. Not in my community.
Yeah,
you don't get to stand behind the rainbow or any of the other flags. Uh-uh. You stand behind a flag of supremacy.
That's exactly what it is. And I think that it's very interesting that a lot of these people were formerly, you know, sort of in a conservative path. And they recently have become progressives, or they call themselves as coming out of progressive movement. I can't really tell the difference between Hollywood and Congress, between Republicans and Democrats, especially when it comes to rape and sexual assault, especially when it comes to the messaging of the explanation. And in the queer community, it is, I hope, something that queer people are going to call out, that queer people are going to say, you can't use this kind of rhetoric. Mm-mm. This weird, we're weird, we like to do this, and we have the right to, because freedom of queer people gives me the right to rape. Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm. freedom of queer people does not give you the right to rape young women, mm-hmm. children, mm-mm. none of those things. So that message, I hope, is something that queer people are going to really send to people like Chelsea Lyons, to people like Kevin Spacey, mm-hmm. to George Takei, because they have very big platforms from which they can speak from to help the community.
Yeah.
And this kind of response definitely doesn't help people that are marginalized.
Yeah. And I just, you know, I really don't like that, you know, people like this throw us under the bus. And I mean, they've done harm to you too. You know, especially abusive LGBT people. And if Chelsea's claiming to be LGBT, then she needs to, you know, face the consequences of her actions, even so. And, you know, what did they do to you guys, at least?
Well, we don't have much time to tell you.
That's right. It's a long story.
Because, it's a very, very long story. But what I will say is that in our area, like I'm guessing in most places, it's very white-led.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
And the white-led LGBT community really wanted for Duke to remain in this roommate kind of situation that he had had with a gay woman. Mm-hmm. Who was openly lesbian and was openly having multiple relationships, while Duke had, you know, been very supportive of giving her that faux hetero mm-hmm. kind of relationship so that she could have acceptance in the community while still being able to live an openly gay lifestyle. And that's something that really wasn't available to this gay woman mm-hmm. prior to this generation and all of the, you know, acceptance of queer people and queer people being able to be open about it. Mm-hmm. So she started to morph over into that. Mm-hmm. And they also, the queer community, also, especially this woman, also wanted to retain the power mm-hmm. of supremacy that goes along with being in a heteronormative white mm-hmm. relationship, even though they weren't actually in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Duke has never been married.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Duke had never fallen in love. That's mm-hmm. what he said to me. Mm-hmm. Never found somebody that he wanted to be in a relationship with and change the ongoing situation for, until we got together and the queer community that had supported him
yeah.
and that he had really helped turned on both of us because of racism.
Exactly. Yeah. And plus, as I said earlier, the queer community being able to define itself. You know, when I was working in organizations being supporting the queer community mm-hmm. for 20 years,
yeah.
People in organization, there's a lot of queer people, and it was very closeted. Mm-hmm. It was the way we had to do our work, you know, and to try to get advancements. And so that's a whole nother show.
Yeah.
If you ever want to talk about the, you know, my involvement with the queer community in Fargo, North Dakota, and Moorhead, Minnesota mm-hmm. in the 80s to mm-hmm. today, I'll definitely talk to you about that sometime.
Mm-hmm. We'll probably go through that.
But
next
it was
show.
Very painful mm-hmm. for us because mm-hmm. we had both, had connections to the queer communities and support of the queer communities. And when we got into a relationship, we were attacked by mm-hmm. those communities because the woman that he had been with and the white people in her community felt that she should be entitled to continue to keep that facade mm-hmm. because of the economic advantages, because mm-hmm. of the other advantages that gave to her, even though she was in openly gay relationships mm-hmm. With other people in the community and he was alone. Mm-hmm. And every single person in the world has a right to have a relationship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They had, you know, Duke has never been married his entire life. So mm-hmm. the fact that he wanted to leave that roommate situation and finalize a marriage to somebody that he fell in love with was mm-hmm. you know, his right as
exactly,
a person
exactly. mm-hmm.
to pursue love. Everyone should have a right to pursue love.
Yes.
And we found, I found you. I found mm-hmm.
definitely
my love. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Cindy and Duke, my parents, my wonderful parents, a model of love and trust of two people for coming onto my show, Finding Me. We will now wrap this up. You can contact us at 701-566-0917, at me at my Facebook or Twitter at Nemo Potatoes. You can contact me on kpppfm.com/findingme and hit the contact tab, or just email me at nemo@kpppfm.com. Follow us on Facebook at 88.1 FM Fargo Moorhead, the People's Press Project, and Mexi Dash Can. Donations to Fargo Moorhead's newest low power commercial-free radio station can be made at our website on kpppfm.com/donate. And you can check in our underwriting opportunities at kpppfm.com/underwriting-opportunities on how you can support the first queer radio program in the Red River Valley. Thank you for tuning in. See you next month on the first Wednesday here on Finding Me.